Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Tuesday morning, the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. Steve will join you in a matter of mere seconds here on in our beautiful WGN Skyline Studio. Dave Ennett here, Steve Grzanich in the newsroom, Mary Vandeveld in the traffic center. Super Joe on the other side of the glass, along with Cassara again this morning with Mike Heideman on vacation.
Can't see you, Dave.
Because the sun is blinding. I know.
You have the blinds closed.
I know. I do need them. The future is so bright that Steve's wearing shades.
Oh, you should wear shades.
You should wear shades.
Now, you know who wears shades on the radio?
Who?
Dorks. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve. Hi, John.
John DeCoss is here as well this morning.
Good morning to everybody.
John DeCoss, hello.
Hey. Everybody seems excited to hear from you, John.
Because he always brings us stuff.
Yeah.
So that's really all it takes?
Yeah, that's it.
I've got a cedar clock that I picked up at a gift shop for you.
Oh, does it smell?
I love the smell of cedar. Yeah.
Does it smell? Interesting response.
Oh, it smells
Two
like
people
cedar,
were interested
sure.
in that, and John wasn't expecting anybody to be. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Barry Rosner is an old pal, and Barry Rosner wrote a great piece on Peggy Kaczynski. Did you read it?
I did read it last night. Yes.
And Molly Marin is our Kid of the Week coming up here in a few minutes. Ed Farmer will be back on the show after a long time later this morning. So apparently Dave and Ed worked out their fight.
We did, yes.
And, many other things to go. And plenty of free parking. It's 6:11. Let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't kick. Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, according to the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project, the group that tracks drownings across the Great Lakes, 27 people have drowned in Lake Michigan this year. That's 80% higher than this time last year when there were 15. Why would that be?
They've had, I know, a number of rip currents, and the red flags have been up on the beaches a lot, it seems like, lately, but I don't know if it would account for that dramatic rise.
Well, it's not all on our beach. It could be on the Michigan side.
Well, but there's also the lake is much higher. The lake level is much higher than previous, and I know one of those fatalities is probably listed there, is the one where the boat hit the jutty. That was covered by water that's normally never covered by water because the lake level's so high.
A lot more boat accidents, that's for sure.
So it could be that the boat, you know, somebody could be thrown out of a boat and drowned, and that would be considered a drowning accident because of high water levels. I'm just
letting it sink in for a second.
Plus, it's been hot and more people venturing in.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got nothing else. Have you seen anything else?
No other reasons?
No. Next. Building the Obama Presidential Center in Jackson Park will have a, quote, adverse effect on the park and the adjacent Midway. Is it Plaisance? How do you pronounce this word? P-L-A-I-S-A-N-C-E.
Plaisance.
And a new report city officials have made with state and federal agencies involved as well. The federal review is taking place because Jackson Park's status on a National Register of Historic Places and because the Obama Presidential Center plan involves closing and expanding major streets nearby. It also, at one point, a new involved, was it 4,000 jobs? I think it was 4,000 jobs. I don't know what that number is now. So the discussions continue. Next, congratulations, Northwestern Memorial Hospital, on a winning streak. U.S. News & World Report again ranked the Chicago Hospital as the best in Illinois and one of the top 10 in the country. Northwestern was the only Illinois hospital to earn a spot in the publication's top 20 list. Eighth consecutive year, Northwestern has taken the number one spot in Illinois. It's kind of surprising, though, with all the great hospitals we have, that we didn't have something else in the top 10.
You would think, yeah.
UC, possibly, you know. Well, we'll look into it. The show seems to have an energy problem so far.
I was just at Northwestern this year for the first time.
Should we start this over? Joe, do you have the theme again? What? I just feel like we don't have the energy's wrong on the show so far.
There was a weird silence in the middle of the between the drowning story and the other, and I'm not sure what that was about.
We're just trying to give it room.
We're all thinking a lot. We're all trying to process it.
I don't know if this helps. I brought bagels and croissants.
Next, software engineer in Seattle hacked into a server holding customer information for Capital One. What's in my wallet? Nothing now, because the personal data of over 100 million people, one of the largest thefts of data from a bank, has been stolen. How many Capital One people here?
Not me.
No. Not me.
No.
Joe?
I am not, but Kasera is.
Kasera's Capital One.
Wow.
And Capital One, you know, we've had a lot of these breaches. Capital One seems pretty subdued about all of this.
Boy, they hoping nobody'd notice. It's only 100 million. Shh.
What we haven't heard from Capital One is what are they going to do to protect our credit, to protect us, consumers moving forward? That's been missing from the stories of the last 24 hours.
Yeah, because there is no offered solution. There's no click here. Next. In a third straight day of Donald Trump stopping just short of a white hood, he denounced Al Sharpton on Twitter as a con man who hates whites and cops. And by the way, I'm never defending Al Sharpton. He's a bad human being. But seriously? And again, assailed Representative Elijah Cummings, one of the great heroes in the civil rights movement, in his Baltimore-based district as rat-infested, rodent-infested, and who would want to live there? No one in their right mind would live there. But he's not a racist. I just want to make that clear. He is not a racist. You know, one of the most disappointing things that could have come out of this yesterday was the wimp sort of statement made by Mark Morgan. This is a guy that Elijah Cummings, and this is the difference between a man and somebody that's not a man.
Mark Meadows.
Mark Meadows from the, is it the Freedom Caucus?
Yes.
Mark Meadows from the Freedom Caucus was defended as someone who is absolutely not a racist and someone who Elijah Cummings called one of his best friends and went out of his way to defend him. This was in the Cohen hearings. Yesterday, when he had an opportunity, and over the weekend, too, he had an opportunity to step up and defend Elijah Cummings. There were crickets until last night when he had a surrogate, if you will, the former senator from Pennsylvania, Rick Santorum, deliver a statement for him from him on CNN, which said neither man, Cummings, nor Trump are racists. And I'm volunteering myself to go to Baltimore with Donald Trump to help in Cummings' district in any way that it's needed. And Cummings works harder for his people than anybody. I mean, it couldn't have been let's use a word I would have gotten in trouble there for. It couldn't have been a sadder attempt at trying to suck up to Donald Trump while mildly defending a guy who went out on a limb for you. But again, it's the difference between, you know, you're a man or you're not a man. Because this is not about save your job. This is about my alleged best friend or one of my best friends needs me to defend him, and I don't have the stones to step up and do it. So he ought to be ashamed of himself, but I'm sure he's not.
Interestingly enough, Steve, I don't know if you saw this, the Republicans are still having their annual retreat in Baltimore. I believe it's coming up in 2 weeks.
Well, that'll be interesting, won't it?
Yes. Yeah. I think the president is scheduled to speak there.
And then there's this. Facing mounting pressure and a fight over equitable pay, U.S. Soccer says the players on the Women's Cup champion the World Cup champion women's national team were paid more than their male counterparts from 2010 to 2018. This is according to a letter released Monday by the U.S. Soccer president, Carlos Cordero. The federation paid out $34.1 million in salary and game bonuses to the women as opposed to $26.4 million to the men. These figures do not include benefits received only by the women, such as health care. Okay, here's my question. If this, in fact, is true, why would they have let the publicity build against them the way they did without saying a word 6 weeks ago?
Great question. And they go on to say that the women's team generated $101 million between 2009 and 2019. The men generated $185 million over a fewer number of games over that same stretch. So, this would seem, if these figures are accurate, this would seem to bolster the case of U.S. soccer that there is not this great inequity.
But it took 6 weeks to get their act together?
Yeah, but I just wonder, if that's the case, then how come the women's team, how come they're not aware of this?
Where did the figures come from?
Yeah, I mean, that's
initially, about how much women were paid in game bonuses versus men.
That's the question.
What's the deal? Women get health benefits, but the men don't? What is that all about?
According to the story, yeah.
Yeah.
But none of this was information that wasn't available to the management of U.S. Soccer.
Right. You would have thought they would have, they could have headed this off.
So it's like they had a meeting. They said, let's let people get really pissed.
Yeah.
And let's wait 4 more weeks.
Yes.
And then let's put this out. Because you know what this feels like? Creative accounting.
Yeah. It does.
It's hard to determine the truth now. I generally turn to my president at times like this.
Of course. Can I add one quick story to
sure.
the top six? Ryan Burrow from our newsroom tweeted this out or sent this out to the staff.
Yeah.
A disturbing new report indicates more than a quarter of delivery food drivers sample their customers' meals before dropping
Whoa, really?
28% of delivery drivers have taken food from an order. 54% confess they're often tempted by the smell of the food they're bringing to customers.
Especially French fries. I mean, don't order French fries. They'll all be eaten up.
So anything that comes by piece outside of pizza, where you'd notice.
Don't order that.
Or tater tots.
Wow.
That's got to be a lie, too, though. I mean, only 54% are tempted.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. Well, if they work at the same place, they might be sick of the food, if it's the same.
Who did the survey?
The study conducted by U.S. Food.
The same people that did the U.S. soccer story.
U.S. soccer, U.S. food.
Well, keep in mind, Grubhubbers, before you order tonight.
Wow.
How are you feeling about that, Steve? Good news?
Oh, God. I'm sick to my stomach.
621.
That old eight-piece
McNugget.
So good, Dave.
John, you and I have talked about this before. It's like when you go to a baseball game. And instead of getting up and going to the concourse, you order a hot dog from the guy running around with the hot dogs. And nine people who you've never met touch your food before it gets to you.
Yeah, it's like, good move. Good move.
We'll come back in just a moment.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
We're going to do a double game in just a second, so we need at least two callers, obviously more than that can call. 312-981-7200. We're going to play Fact or Fiction. John, you're the cordial host and jovial host.
I've got it. I'm ready.
But we'll also play Lollapalooza Band or a Band I Was In.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. Prize is standing by.
Fact or fiction? Fact or fiction? The simple game show causing mass addiction. Because we'll write the fake one. Make your choice and then the game's done.
All right, John, how do we play?
Very simple. I have a statement. You have to just tell me. The caller tells me if it is a fact, if it's true or fiction. I made it up.
Dustin, you ready to play?
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Dustin.
Dustin, where are you headed this morning? Are you going to work?
Yeah, unfortunately.
What's the job?
Just some boring office stuff, you know.
Okay, so you probably want to mention where you're working now since you're so pumped about it.
I'll keep it to myself this time.
Yeah, it seems right. That seems right. All right, Dustin, you got to say fact or fiction to what?
Here you go. Sonic the Hedgehog's full name is Ogilvy Maurice Hedgehog.
Ogilvy Maurice Hedgehog, nicknamed Sonic. Fact or fiction? And by the way, Dustin, just so you know, I don't have a friggin' clue.
All right, I'm going to go with fact on this.
Good call.
Very good.
Very good.
Excellent.
Congratulations, excellent. Man. You are a big winner. You sound like a guy that might enjoy a pizza.
I would.
Lou Malnati's, pal. Hold on. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Let's go to Lori. Lori, hi. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
You're going to work too, Lori?
I am.
Where do you work?
I work at West Suburban Veterinary Associates.
Are you a vet or an assistant, or what do you do there?
I'm a veterinary anesthetist and also assistant practice manager.
Well, this is fascinating to me. So you actually give the anesthesia to the animal before surgery?
Oh, wow.
I do.
So,
and recover them post-op.
So is that something that, because I have tremendous respect for anybody that's an anesthesiologist because it's very specific, sensitive, and complicated work. I assume with animals, since the biology of animals and the infrastructure of animals, the architecture of animals, the anatomical architecture is so different, I would think it's pretty complicated.
it is pretty complicated, but yet there's a lot of similarities between human medicine and veterinary medicine, and so we use a lot of the same drugs, the same induction agents, everything.
Well, I salute your work. All right, I'm going to give you a Thank band you. Name. You tell me if it's a band I was in, because you know I'm a very musical guy, or if it's a band that's playing this weekend at Lollapalooza. The band is Big Box of Twinkies. Big Box of Twinkies.
Big Box of Twinkies. I think that's a band that you were in.
Ding, 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 Johnny. She's
Way
a winner.
Go. Way to go.
Excellent.
Congratulations. Are you a Broadway fan?
Thank you. I am.
A pair of tickets for an evening with Bernadette Peters at the Paramount Theater.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's very cool. One night only event, Saturday, August 17th. Get your tickets at ParamountAurora.com. And we'll do more of this later. You want to do one, John?
Sure.
Okay, again, this is
I love this.
Band.
Dave and I both love this. I think this is one of our favorite things.
I do love this.
Yeah.
This is a band I was in, or a Lollapalooza band. Are you ready?
Yes.
The band is The Nude Party. The Nude Party.
Band at Lollapalooza.
I'm going to say, yeah, I would agree with that.
You're both correct. Congratulations.
Yes. Very good, Dave.
Did they perform nude?
Maybe a Broadway fan?
The Nude Party. The Nude Party is performing Friday, August 2nd. I've never heard of them. So
yeah, I don't know.
Don't know.
I don't know.
More Lollapalooza band or a band I was in, fact or fiction, other things coming up, 6:31. Your headlines are next. Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on a trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We should call that kid, wake him up again.
Oh, that's so good.
6:40, Molly Marin's your kid of the week this week. Molly, is it Marin? Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good morning, Molly.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine as well. Thank you for being on. You're the kid of the week.
Thank you.
You just won the Silver Service Award from the Girl Scouts, collected and donated over 3,000 books. Where'd you find 3,000 books?
Everybody from all around our neighborhood donated their books that they don't use anymore.
That's amazing. And this all started with your sister being in the hospital?
Yeah, when my little sister was 3.5, she had a horrible fever that they couldn't break. And in the hospital, they had books. But when she got discharged, they realized that they can't give those books to another kid. They have to throw away those books because of cross-contamination.
Oh.
So I thought that they must always be in need of books. So I thought, well, then we can just give them the books that nobody else uses anymore.
And I understand people who couldn't donate books donated money. What'd you do with the money?
We asked people to really use that money to buy, like, coloring books and crayons and then donate that. Like, we didn't really get much money other than money from, like, my mom and our extended family.
Yeah, and did your mom know you were in her purse? Or, you were doing it for the right reasons. All right, so look, this is a great thing, and it all started with some scary times for your family. How's your sister?
My sister's good.
Good. And the thing that strikes me in the notes I saw about you is that everybody that talked about you said she's kind. She's a caring young lady. She deserves recognition for her hard work. So what do you do for fun for you?
I enjoy drawing, swimming, but I just had foot surgery, so I can't swim anymore. But and reading.
What kind of foot surgery?
I had an extra bone in my foot. So I needed to have surgery to get it removed because it was causing.
I have an extra bone.
So do I.
Yeah. No, it's a true story. And yeah. I just found out about it like a year ago.
How do you find out about that? It just hurts all of a sudden?
Yeah, my foot was bothering me, and I went to a podiatrist and showed me the x-ray and said, you have an extra bone. And I said, well, I don't want that.
Does it make you smarter?
Well, I think that's up to the listeners, really, isn't it? Well, listen, Molly, we love you, and you're very impressive. Now, you're a sophomore, I would guess?
Yeah, I'm a sophomore.
Going to be a junior this fall?
No, I'm going to be a sophomore this
going
fall.
Going to be a sophomore. Where do you go to school?
I go to Cary Grove.
And what do you want to do? Do you have any idea what you want to do for college and beyond?
Not really. I'm still trying to explore what I'm interested in.
Well, whatever it is, I have no doubt you're going to be successful. And keep that kind heart of yours, and my best to your family. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Don't hang up. Give her some prizes. Joe, what do we give our kids of the week, our superstar kids?
We give our lucky kids of the week an Apt gift card and a Lou Malnati's gift card.
Very nice. Very nice. It is 6:43. We'll get Steve here in just a second. John DeCosta is here this morning. John, we have several shows coming up, the Steve Cochran Comedy
Tour. We do.
The first of which is at Zany's in St. Charles.
Right.
And all of these shows are going to sell out, so get your tickets. How do we get tickets to St. Charles?
Well, St. Charles is easy. Just go to Zany's.com, and you can get your tickets online. That is going to be Friday, August 23rd, and that one is really cool because it's you and me and Mike Toomey from WGN Morning News, the show, which is kind of cool because he grew up right there. He's a Carroll Stream alum, and lived in Carroll Stream and was a Glenbard West alum.
Okay.
So.
And Mike, in particular, and you as well, because you're on the radio every week, and me, we do stuff on stage we can't do here.
Right.
And not because it's dirty, but because it's longer or it's different concepts or it doesn't work on the radio. So if you think, well, why would I come see I hear you on the radio. It's different stuff.
Yeah, totally.
I see
you
on TV.
Stuff.
It's different stuff.
And it's just a lot of fun.
So I run into people all the time, and I know you do as well, people who go, you know, I'd love to do that someday. Stand up.
Right.
I'd love to be on stage. Yeah, I'd love to put you on stage. So what do you think of this? Why don't we have anybody listening now, if you really want to be on stage, you call, and we'll audition jokes this morning.
That's a good I like this. This is good.
And we'll give you tickets to the show, obviously.
Right.
And then you get to come up on stage with John at the beginning of the show and do your joke.
That's great. There's no pressure. They're with me, so, you know.
Right. So they'll have fun.
Yep.
They'll panic.
I'm sure.
But they'll have fun. So if you have a joke, and Joe, be ready to ride the delay button.
I know.
If you have a joke that you think is really great, and you think you could tell it in front of a couple of hundred people on an upcoming Friday night?
It's Friday night, August 23rd.
And you want to go to the show, 312-981-7200. This could be a big break in show business.
This is actually kind of fun. This is good.
And by the way, I'm not anticipating a bunch of people going, oh, pick me.
Right.
So we'll keep pumping this throughout the morning until we get somebody who wants
call.
To do it. Okay?
I like that.
It's a really good joke, we'll just steal it without giving you any credit.
Right. We'll lock you in the grain room.
Yes.
In the dressing room, as it is.
Right.
And we'll go out and claim it's our material. 312-981-7200. We're looking for someone to tell one joke at Zany's. Be a star. Dave, do you want an opportunity at this?
No, I think it's probably more something the listeners deserve, mm-hmm. the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you don't have a joke?
No.
Oh, it's a big Tuesday. Michael Steele will be here to tell us about the last open audition for the Democrats this week.
And we're playing our favorite summer game, Lollapalooza Band or Medical Condition.
Rokan with Anna DeVlantis. Chicago's conversation is on 720 WGN.
Now, just so people understand, I like Rokan. And I love Anna DeVlantis. She's been a friend forever.
Mm-hmm.
But right after we do something we do every year, Lollapalooza Band or a band I was in, I hear a promo for Ro's show that says, join us for Lollapalooza Band or a medical condition. Let me tell you something, Ro. Try harder. There's a lot of concepts out there. Go pick one. I mean, I wasn't the first guy that played in a lot of bands. Kevin Matthews was. But, you know, this Lollapalooza Band thing, just taking the thousands of bands I've been in, because I have. I was very difficult to work with. Just try harder, that's all. Ro will be on tomorrow. We'll discuss this.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Just getting weird now that Kevin Powell has changed his name to Dave Ennett. He'll be doing sports this afternoon.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
It's unbelievable. All right, Super Joe, are these two folks telling us jokes?
They sure are.
All right, we go to Ruth first in Shorewood. This is an audition to join us at Zany's. Good morning, Ruth.
Hi, good morning, gang.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
It's a beautiful...
I just wanted to tell you that my husband and I just celebrated our 54th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
And, yeah, and we still have sex almost every night.
Hold on a second. Let me just give you the sitting ovation.
Wow.
The sitting ovation, the very rare sitting ovation. And frankly, you should be sitting based on how busy you are.
Sitting ovation. You know, it's almost Sunday, almost Tuesday, almost.
Oh, that was good.
What a beautiful setup,
too. Oh, man.
I mean, I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Pulled us right in, Ruth. That was beautiful.
Ruth, I don't know if you're the winner yet, but you're certainly in the running.
That was wonderful.
Do you have any contractual demands for your dressing room?
No, not at all.
And by the way, speaking of anniversaries, was it really your anniversary?
Yes, it really was. June 19th, 54 years.
Oh, well, today is Maureen Cochran's anniversary. Look, I like her. I'm not fond of her husband.
Oh.
But today is her anniversary.
That's pretty
good. So happy anniversary to her.
Yeah.
She's a regular listener.
Right. Ruth,
very good,
wonderful.
Ruth. Hold on. I mean, I was in.
I know.
Yeah.
We didn't even, you know, I thought, wow, she's really give us a lot of info right off the bat, but
man,
that's pretty good.
Terry, tough act to follow, huh?
Oh, my God, yeah. So, I have the world's shortest joke. I've been laughing ever since I called.
All right, let me hear it.
Donald Trump.
It's pretty strong.
That is good.
That's pretty strong. Yeah, hold on. Brian's in Winnetka. Brian, hello.
Hi, guys. Have you heard the new Capital One marketing slogan?
What is it?
Who's in your wallet?
It's not bad, too. It may be too topical for 2 weeks from now, but those are good. All three out of the gate. Very impressive.
I know. That was good.
That's a strong start. All right, Brian, hold the line, if you would, and we will consider all of these folks.
Oh, that was good.
And more coming up later. At the, what time is it? 6:53? This seems early. At 6:53, Texter says, just like you copied Rose top five at five with your top six at six. First off, it's called The Six. Okay, so get the name right. And copying the top five at five? Well, kind of, but it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's a different bit. I'm still going to crush Rose tomorrow. All right, what are we doing? We'll take a break. We'll come back in just a second. Stand by for that, Steve. Is going to be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in just a moment. And we'll give you a chance to audition to be on stage with us. More coming up. Oh, and also more of Rokan's bit. Is it a Lollapalooza band or a band I was in coming up as well? The Steve Cochran Show continues next at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Very disturbing story out of our newsroom this morning. We'll get to that in just a second. 7-Eleven, most valuable person on the planet coming up. Barry Rosner's story about Peggy Kaczynski was great. And if you saw that in the Daily Herald, and we're going to have Peggy on later. Last time I saw Peggy was out at Medina at, I don't remember what golf tournament it was, but some tournament we were playing in.
I saw her there at the, it was the BMW Championship Media Day.
That's what it was.
Earlier this month.
Right.
Yeah.
Dean Richards and more on entertainment after 8, Ed Farmer after 9, and rumor is the coach, the old ball coach, is calling in this morning.
Well, it'd be about that time of year.
Mm-hmm. Probably keeping an eye on camp. Ryan Burrow is here. Ryan, award-winning newsman, newshound. And very disturbing story he passed on to us this morning. This is breaking news. Ryan, what do you have?
Well,
you know, a lot of people are getting their food delivered to them now. They've got all these, you know, various apps where you can have people come and bring you your Chinese food, your pizza, whatever.
And it's everywhere. It's not just the city. It's the burbs. It's everywhere.
Exactly. And U.S. Foods surveyed about 500 American adults who identify as having worked for one of these delivery organizations. 54% admit that they were tempted by their food that they were delivering to maybe.
But they would never open a container and eat the food. I'm sure that's what you're going to tell me, right?
28% confess that they may have tried a little bit of that food.
Which, by the way, means it's 56%, because if 28% admitted, it's twice that. All right, now think about what you have delivered. Vanderbilt's concerned with French fries. I don't know how you have French fries delivered anyway. Aren't they soggy and ridiculous by the time you get them? I mean, I would think.
If you wrap them really good.
I think this is probably a cheese curd incident.
Well, the
not a band I was
fries
in.
Would be the easiest to swindle, right?
Well, yeah, the chicken fingers, I mean.
Usually there'd be a count, though, right? I mean, if you ordered 6 chicken fingers and there were only 5 in there, or 5.5.
Yeah, and that's the new thing. With Uber Eats, you get Burger King or McDonald's or Wendy's, you know. So, like Ryan said, those are the easy things to steal.
I don't generally do a census, though, before I eat, you know?
What about a sip? Someone grab a sip? It's hot in there. You're driving around all day.
You mean like a shake?
Sure. Or Coke.
Oh, it's so bad.
Why is this straw already in my drink?
It's just so bad.
Why is there backwash in my drink?
So basically, we need to have some sort of, a body cam. A body cam, but it's some sort of camera situation in the car to prove that you didn't eat our food.
A lot of people in this survey said they'd liked these restaurants to seal the products a little bit better. Maybe an extra staple in there, you know, keep it sealed so that you know when that seal's broken.
Well, that's a good point. When you get Chinese food and they seal the containers, if your container's open, well, then maybe you got a problem.
And there's a big spoon scoop out of it, yeah.
And listen, I'm not questioning the hygiene of delivery folks and drivers, but I'm questioning the hygiene of delivery folks and drivers. because don't touch the food. Yeah.
It's not you. They're not your relatives.
Yeah.
It's no one you know.
Well, how many times, though, have you done this where you went up to get a, you got a pizza or something, you pick it up, you take it home, and you're tempted? And this is your pizza.
Yeah.
Your food. And you have something in the car, and you feel guilty because you know you're going to get heat when you get home.
Right.
Aren't there more pepperonis on this pizza for when you picked it up?
I didn't even think about that, because I said earlier the pizza, you wouldn't have that because you'd notice the piece was missing. But you might not notice somebody pulling the pepperoni or the sausage off the top.
I think you should automatically accuse the delivery driver as soon as they show up.
You ate
some of my food, didn't you?
Hey, did you touch this?
You know, I'm thinking if my mom was a Uber driver, delivery driver, because she would always take a bite out of my sandwich.
Really?
And every time I'm like, who did this?
Well, that's funny you say that. My grandmother was always, can I have just a little taste?
Yes.
So you're saying there's a number of older women driving around doing this?
This goes back a long way.
Maybe this would encourage more people to get off the couch and go pick up their own food.
And go back to the couch with the pizza.
Yes.
Or delivery driver, hey, you didn't need to eat that whole thing. I'm looking at you right now. You didn't need to eat that whole thing of shrimp fried rice. Cool. I just helped you out a little bit.
Who else does delivery? I don't. I haven't done delivery for years. I go pick it up.
Yeah, same here.
Once in a while a pizza, but usually we go pick it up.
Yeah, same here. We just go.
But Steve, in this city, you know, we're all burbs folks. In the city, it's probably quicker and easier. And with the parking situation, you probably just budget the time, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's...
I mean, I know, Steve, you're never going to order again after this story. But
probably not.
But previous to this story,
really
you've used...
my world.
If you ran Grubhub or any of these this morning, wouldn't you come out with a statement?
Yeah. Yes. I don't use any. I always order directly from the place. And a couple of places I have delivered, they shrink wrap the food in plastic so you can tell if it's been opened.
Yeah, but you can always pull the corner up. Yeah.
Somebody suggested you may have a shrink wrapper in your car or a stapler in your car.
What do you think about this? There's a great level of trust in food preparation to begin with.
Yeah,
that's true.
You don't want to think this is you don't want to know how the sausage is made. You can go to the finest restaurants in the world. You don't know what's going on in the kitchen. You don't
never send anything back.
Yeah,
right? I have a feeling you're going to get extra.
I went to pick up at a kind of an upscale restaurant in the burbs, and I went. They have a separate entrance for carry out, and I'm waiting there. There was a line of Grubhub drivers waiting for their orders. So, I mean, so it's not like it's all fast food. It's not like it's all French fries.
Right. I mean, fancy.
It's pretty nice stuff people are ordering.
And if you're a delivery driver and you're smelling that food and you haven't eaten for hours, right?
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
I mean, if you have a drinking problem and you go to a bar, or a gambling problem, and you swing by a casino, you know?
Well, and these drivers used to be associated with these restaurants. They're not anymore. They're contract workers. So it'd be one thing if you worked at the restaurant and then had a little bit of a break, and it's like, hey, can I get one of those slices of pizza? No big deal. But now these guys don't actually work there. They just go and pick it up.
Anybody listening to this willing to admit you've done this? Because I guarantee you there's people listening who are delivery drivers, right? We have everybody. 312-981-7200.
I'm not a delivery driver. Your name. I'm not a delivery driver, but I'm willing to admit that I would do this if I were. Yep. I would do
it. You were a truck driver and you delivered beverages, right?
Yep, I delivered Red Bull.
Did you ever steal a Red Bull?
No, they counted every single can. So if I stole it, I bought it. Not like a French fry, though, buddy.
Yeah. I like the idea of Joe having, like, you know, powder from a powdered donut in his beard when he's delivering his donuts. I didn't eat anything.
There you go.
So the Grubhubs of the world, they deliver everything, right? Any if they're contracted with a restaurant, they'll pick up anything, right?
Yeah, and there's another delivery service too called Postmates.
Okay,
that they'll actually go and get your food and bring it to you.
So whatever,
DoorDash isn't that another one?
Uber Eats is another one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be out in front of this morning if I were them, because this story is going to be picked up by about a billion people. And by the way, you could also call if you're not willing to admit you've done this, if you're willing to admit you're never ordering out again unless you pick it up.
Yeah, or if you've actually suspected this or can prove that your food was tasted before it got to you.
Well, have you ever had a delivery person come to your door and you go, ooh.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know.
Yep. But see, so if you order food by a credit card, it's already paid for, so you can't really reject it at the door.
Right.
But there are a couple times where I thought, I'm going to reject this.
But Steve, you're right. They should come up with a better way to seal the food so nobody can, you know, like a combination lock.
Well, you know, Aurelio's does this thing when they bring your pizza. When you pick up your pizza, they open it and go, take a look. Is this what you ordered?
Oh, right.
They open it up, take a look. Is this what you ordered? So if you open up the box with the delivery guy comes to your house, goes, take a look, how many pieces are missing? I only ate this corner over here. I only had three pieces.
I only licked the top of it.
See, I think that increases the probability, too, that you open it up and everything falls out.
Well, it's got to be the finger food, right? The finger food is the stuff you could steal.
I suppose.
I mean, you get a sandwich.
You can't really steal Chinese food.
Yeah, the Chinese food would be tough, but
unless it's an egg roll.
You get a sandwich and there's a bite out of it. Generally speaking, the guy's probably guilty.
Yeah. I got this done. Is my mom driving with you?
Chinese dishes where you could pick out a piece of the chicken or a water chestnut or something. I can see that.
Oh, God. Man. It's always got sauce in it. That's gross.
Well, that's the part that's gross, the fact that it has the sauce in it?
No, that you would take it out with your finger with a water chestnut.
I just have a feeling that if you're willing to pick into my food, you're not too concerned about how your fingers feel afterwards. All right. Well, this should be good for people's waistlines because no one will be eating.
How's
your bagel?
Yeah. By the way, John, you brought the bagels in again.
There's a bite out of every one.
Okay, just checking.
I took care of that.
7:21. Thank you, Ryan, bro. Yep. Most valuable person on the planet. In just a second, then I'll hit some of these texts that are coming in about the delivery drivers that eat your food. One texter though needs to be confirmed, but I recall WGN's Mark Carmen once admitting that he'd sampled a pizza many years ago when he was a pizza delivery driver. Well, then he needs to be shot at sundown today.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
By the way, we occasionally get wrong number texts. You know, texts that were meant for somebody else. So if you're listening now, this may have been meant for you. It's from a 219 texter going straight to Terminal 5, Door 5B. Should be about 4 minutes. I don't think that's for me. Pretty sure that's not a text meant for me. All right, most valuable person on the planet today is Mayor Craig Johnson. Let me go to the phone here. Good morning, Mayor.
Steve, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Got a lot going on here, Mayor. A lot going on. And you have
got me nervous, Steve. You talk about the delivery guys tasting things. When I was in high school, I was a baker at a Dunkin' Donuts. And I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't taste some of our products either.
But you did it in the store, right?
Yeah, for the most part. But people always thought they got 12 donuts and a dozen in the box. Sometimes they only got 11.
Wow. You know what? I salute the fact that you're risking your political future by admitting to such a big scale problem here. Good for you. Good for you.
Honesty is the best policy.
Mayor Johnson, we know Elk Grove Village and we know how busy you have been. But one of the things that you've done, which I think absolutely needs to be highlighted here, is stepping up and fighting the opioid crisis in this country, and specifically after you've had 26 deaths in the last 4 years in Elk Grove Village, right?
No question. It's not just Elk Grove, as you said. It's throughout not only the country, the world. And we decided to take the bold steps to make a difference and hopefully lay the groundwork that can be copied and followed by almost everyone so we can finally beat this dreaded disease. And that's the key, Steve. Addiction is a disease. No difference than the heart disease when I had my bypass surgery 5 years ago. It's a disease. It's not self-inflicted. It's a disease.
Right, and we need to accept it as the same and get those people help to get off the thing that's going to end their life if they don't. What is the drug that police have on hand in most cases to deal with someone who's overdosed?
Narcan. It's not just the police, Steve. We actually have it set up in public places throughout the community. So if you're in a library, you're at the park district, you're at a school, you're at a church, you're at a Walgreens, and you find someone that's ODing, Narcan is publicly available, no different than defibrillators. It's right there for you to grab and save that person's life.
It's a very important thing to do and very innovative. I have not heard of any other towns doing this.
Well, there's a couple towns that have attempted it and have not been successful. We're the first town that's got it fully implemented. It's been out there for almost a year now. And thank God we haven't had to use it. But the key behind that, Steve, is this. When you give someone Narcan and brings them back, that's the time that they usually want help. And all of our people are trained, including the places that have the Narcan kits, to help them reach out, grab their hand, and say, we're going to give you help right now. And then we take them into our program, and it's on the road to recovery.
I salute what you're doing. And is there anybody else in city government you think ought to be recognized or you wanted to mention?
Well, the main thing is it's not just myself. It's everyone from my police department to my public or social worker. Mm-hmm. Everyone's involved. The businesses, they accept to have a Narcan kit in their business. You know, that doesn't look so good when people walk by. They see the AEDs. They go, oh, that's great. They see a Narcan kit. People are kind of nervous, and that's the key to our program, Steve, is, and thank you today very much, is educating people that this is a disease we have to beat. Like, we're beating heart disease, we're beating cancer, we've got to beat this disease. I'm telling you, it's undermining the fabric of communities. And real quickly, I tell people this all the time when I speak to them. How many of you know a person that had their car broken into?
Sure.
Everyone raises their hand. 98% of that crime is by an addict looking for quick cash for a quick fix. So even if you don't agree with it's a disease, do it for yourself to save you money, your insurance money, and all the rest. I don't care what it takes to get you on board with us, but we need you on board with us in order to beat this disease.
What do you need from people?
Main thing is sympathy and understanding, or in other words, compassion. Understand that these people need the same amount of help as anyone else that's fighting the disease. Because without that support for the families, for the loved ones, for the friends, and the addicts themselves, we're not going to beat it. Too many people, Sean, real quick, when I had my bypass surgery 5 years ago, I had people call me up, Mayor, can I drive you somewhere? Mayor, can I pick something up for you? But when someone says they're an addict, people turn their back and run.
Yep.
And you can't have that mindset. It is something we can beat by working together. If we keep shunning them, we're never going to beat this. We treat them like a leper, it's never going to be cured. But if we treat them like we do with people that have cancer or have heart disease or other illnesses, we can beat this. And we're proving that in Elk Grove. As the U.S. Department of Justice told us, our program is revolutionary. So Deputy Chief Gasparri has been speaking throughout the country, Texas, Alabama, talking about it. And real quickly here, the other day, a young lady was talking to us and said, Mayor, I was in New York City in Times Square, and an officer knew I was from Elk Grove Village and said he knows about our town. I said, well, how's that? Vacation? She goes, no. He heard about our program, and New York City is starting to emulate a lot of parts of our program.
I salute you, sir. That's why you're the most valuable person on the planet and the fine people of Elk Grove Village. Keep up the good work.
I will, and thank you for everything you're doing and helping us get the word out.
You bet. That's Mayor Craig Johnson from Elk Grove Village. Let's do this. Let's take a break, come back for the headlines, and I'll get to these texts in a little bit. People very fired up about delivery drivers touching their food, eating their food. 732, that's next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Well, most of you know Barry Rosner, written for years and years and years for the Daily Herald. Funny little fella, too, Dave.
He is a very funny guy and a great writer.
Yep, and known him for years. And he wrote a story about Peggy Kaczynski. Now, there's very few people in this business where you could say, I've never run across anybody that doesn't like that individual. I've never crossed anybody that doesn't like Peggy Kaczynski.
Agreed.
I mean, there's nobody that goes, ugh, that Peggy. And she's worked her tail off for years. I mean, we go all the way back to the, you know, the 90s and the Loop and work she was doing for Kevin Matthews and all that. And she carved out a great TV career and raising a family. So fast forward to a few years ago, and her sister, her idol, if you will, rock of the family, has cancer. It gets worse and she passes. So understandably, Peggy's a mess. I mean, well, who wouldn't be in that situation? Rosner lays all this out in the story. There was a suggestion by someone, and she thought it wasn't a bad idea. Well, stay busy. Blackhawks are in the playoffs. A particular game, after the game, she did what she always did. She's in the scrum in the middle of folks asking questions. And she asked Patrick Kane if he'd ever scored an overtime game winner. Knowing full well what the answer was, it was just she was exhausted and emotionally spent. And it kind of changed her professional world. And you're saying, well, how's that even possible? Well, because of the pettiness of the internet and how one small comment or one thing or one slightly off day at work can change your world, she had people bringing it up to her, judging her on it again and again and again. And that brings us to Peggy, who joins us now on the phone. I hope I did the story justice. Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty fair. It's, you know, good morning, by the way.
Hi.
Good morning.
I apologize if you can hear water slapping, waves slapping a boat next to me. I'm in the middle of a lake in Wisconsin with my daughter. So
very impressive cell service.
Yeah, right. Well, that's why I had to go all the way out to the end of the pier to make sure that I did get a cell signal, because I typically don't out here.
Very impressive. Very impressive. Well, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, aside from what we're already talking about here, is this pettiness of the internet and these know-it-all attackers and things. I mean, you went through it.
Yeah, you know, and that was 5 years ago. And, everybody in every job, no matter what profession you have, will go through where you have bad days and, you just never forget the worst day. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what was happening with me, is that I just never forgot that day because people kept bringing it up. And, you know, I thought I had moved on and, oh, I'm going to be really tough. I always prided myself in being the toughest chick in the media room. And, when you're going through grief, some things just hit harder than others and you can't control it.
Right.
And so as much as I tried to get past that, the Patrick Kane incident, I just kept getting all these reminders from these trolls online. And yes, we all say, don't listen to them. Oh, move on. Who's that? Just one idiot. But, you know, it's part of the human condition. We do care. And it just kept, if it wasn't involved with the time when I lost my sister, I would have been able to move on. But it was just this whole, just horrible confluence of events that was happening, and it led to the decline in my performance in my job, and I just never, ever wanted that to happen. And I thought, well, I've covered enough athletes to know that you don't always get a choice in your exit, and I just said, it's time. It was time for me to step away, and so I did.
Peggy, what prompted you to talk about this now, or was it just that Barry asked you about it?
Oh, Lord, this is, I'm going to be really, really honest here.
Mm-hmm.
I never have talked about this the whole Patrick Kane question and how it affected me. Never, ever, because I don't want anyone feeling sorry for me. You know why? Because someone next door has it much worse than me. Mm-hmm. Someone down the street had a harder tragedy. I never want anyone to feel sorry for me. But I ran into Barry at the BMW Championship Media Day at Medina Country Club.
That's where we saw.
And mm-hmm. I had invited him to come on my podcast, The Sportscaster and Her Son. And I said, hey, you know, why don't you come on? He goes, I just can't. I'm going through a hard time right now. And Barry's had very difficult losses recently in his own personal life.
Right.
And I said, oh, Barry, I get it. I totally understand. And he goes, no, listen to this. And he started telling me, and I said, well, listen to this. And I told him my story, and I told him because I wanted him to know there are others like us. You know, people go through this every day. You're not alone. Don't beat yourself up over this. You know, it took me 5 years to be able to say, you know what, I'm good. I'm good. Life is great. I accept everything now. And I just wanted to help him through it. And next thing I know, I'm telling him my whole story. And I thought, oh gosh, here we go. And, you know, it's hard for me even now to talk about it. It's hard for me to hear you saying those things. But, you know, it is life. It's life.
Well, I think it is public people. You know, there is a kind of a way of therapy, I suppose, and paying it forward by telling a story like this so people understand, as Barry did, that he's not alone.
Exactly. And I remember Bernie Nichols came from the Kings, played for the Blackhawks. Sure. I remember early in my career, I was standing at Bernie's locker, and he said, you know, Peg, before you lay into me, sometimes you just got to realize things are not going great at home.
Right.
You know, I think he had a child who was sick at the time. And he said, you know, we make mistakes. So just, you know, lighten up a little bit on us because you never know what's going on at home. I have never forgotten that. And I used to think that I had empathy for the athletes that maybe were having a bad day. But you really don't understand until you go through it yourself. And then you go, oh, gosh. And, yeah, you just want other people to know, hey, you are not alone. This happens to all of us, and you just work your way through it. It's not, and grief is really hard. It's, there just isn't a roadmap, and it affects everybody differently, and some people can bury themselves in their work, and some people just can't even focus on their work anymore. So, you know, it's hard, and yet we all will go through it, and we all do go through it, and we all find a way to get through it.
Peggy, what would you say to somebody who maybe is not in our business, but someone who finds themselves, from any walk of life, who finds themselves victimized by the trolls or the negative stuff that's out there on Twitter or Facebook or wherever?
I think you have to find something to laugh about, and just, you really, truly have to blow them off and stop reading it. I used to try to direct message people. I tried to respond to each one. And I think that you really, truly have to just get away from it. It is not the end all be all.
Right.
It is not. Do your work and then you let it go and go home and enjoy your family. Do not live by it. You know, have to have your phone next to you. You have to read every single thing. I didn't even know Barry's article was coming out until late last night. I started getting all these messages from people in the media. And like I said, my cell service is not great up here. You know, and I thought, what is going on? And so I turned it on. And I thought, oh, my Lord, here we go. Oh, this is going to be hard. You know, it's you just can't live by it. You can't live by it. You have to be able to put the phone down, and you have to just enjoy the people that you're around.
Speaking of enjoying the people you're around, you're not doing a podcast with your kid.
I know. I'm not so sure he's enjoying being around me more.
It's got to be nothing but fun. I mean, was that his idea or your idea or both of you?
No, it was my idea. You know, about a year ago, I was getting antsy being at home and not doing sports as regularly as I wanted to. I'm on what I call the super part-time basis now at mm-hmm. NBC. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was looking for something to do, and I started listening to podcasts when I work out, and I thought, gosh, I could do this, but I need someone, you know, it's my old radio days. I need someone to play off of.
Sure.
I need someone, you know, to talk to and to respond to. And one of my twins, Jason is pursuing a sports broadcasting career. He's in high school. He's going to be a senior this year. And I said, come on, do this podcast with me. And he said, oh, come on, Mom. Only old people listen to podcasts. I said, no, you're wrong. I said, you're wrong. Come on, just do it. We'll do sports. We'll do different topics. I'll let you have your opinion. I'll have my opinion. Because we talk sports at home all the time. And so he agreed. I think he agreed because it would look good on his college apps.
Well, so what?
That's why he did it.
Here's the bonus good reason. It's good. It's a good enough reason. And the bonus is you guys get to hang out and you take that or take every minute of that.
Yes. And that's what I love about it. It is great. It is, you know, anyone with teenagers know you are not their favorite people. they're finding their independence, and I don't see him as much. We don't do things as much together, and this we get to do, and it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. His eyes have been opened. My eyes have been opened by him. You know, and it's great. It's really, you know, I'm kind of writing the script now, which is great.
The point you make about not paying attention to it is really difficult, but you do have to do it. I don't care what business you're in, but if you're a public person, you have a situation now where folks have more access than ever. And I don't know if people are angrier now, because I don't know, Peggy, go back to the 90s on the Loop days. If they had, the public had access to us then, would we have heard the same thing, or we have heard less? And secondarily, the problem we have is we can get 100 great comments, but the one or two negative ones are the ones that stick you.
That is so true, and I don't know why that is. It's because we know when we've had, when I've done a story that's not great, or I had a bad interview, because we want to be better, so the negative kind of pushes us to be better.
Right.
But now, oh, Lord, the negative on social media is just, it's really unfair. And you have to realize that this is somebody who would never, ever say those things to your face. Yeah, they just would never. You know, they're hiding behind it, and you just have to find a way to just brush it off and move on and, you know, just be confident in what you do.
There's a mean-spiritedness that when I was starting in this business, it wasn't there.
I don't think it was either.
You know?
Yeah, I think it was.
But it's out there.
Well, listen, go play with your kid. Go have fun. Remember, put on your floaties if you're swimming. and have fun up there. We love you, Peg. And I thought it was a cool story, and I'm glad you helped Barry, and Barry helped you, and I thought he did a great job writing it. So thanks for coming on.
Great to talk with you, Steve. Be well.
All right, there you go. It's Peggy Kaczynski. Still doing stuff for Channel 5. Yes. Just not as much because mm-hmm. she's enjoying her life.
She was always one of my idols because I always wanted to be like a sports person initially.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, man, I just want to be Peggy Kaczynski.
630. Peggy's an amazing woman, role model to women in sports. Had the pleasure to get to know her when I was a window clerk at the Itasca Post Office. And we'd have a good Cubs Sox rivalry. Everybody loves Peggy. Texas says, I went to high school with Peggy. Can confirm she's always been a strong family person, high achiever, kind soul. Tons of Peggy Kaczynski texts. She's a good woman. And that Barry Rosner story is up at the Daily Herald website. And, you know, we never really talked about it on the air, but I saw Barry at the Hawks convention this weekend, but couldn't really discuss anything with him or too many people around. But Barry has gone through a really difficult time, losing multiple family members in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
So, God bless them all. All right, as we continue, this is interesting because we're going to have a test now. We're going to see what happens because the coach is on the phone.
Uh-oh.
And after we have a talk about kindness, maybe the coach is calling because some of that set in?
Nah,
probably not. Let me go to the phone now. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, Cochran.
Yes. How's your summer?
It's going good, Cochran. You want a compliment? Is that what you're looking for?
Well,
listen, when I see your face, there ain't a thing I change, Cochran. Except the direction I was walking in.
You want to do that one again?
Somebody calling in? That might be my fault. I said, when I see your face, there ain't a thing I change except the direction I was walking in.
There you go. That was worth a second effort.
Dumb me out.
So listen, Coach, the Bears are in camp. Have you spent any time with that?
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now in Bourbonos.
And what do you think of what you see so far?
They look okay. There's a couple guys that stand out. Princess Amutakamin. He's a defensive back. There's a linebacker, Joel Light, bunch of ways, and Nicky Kwiatkowski. Those are good guys.
Nicky Kwiatkowski, didn't you coach his dad?
I did. That's so funny to remember that, Cochran. That was Nicky Senior.
Yeah, I'm not just a pretty face.
No, you got that for sure. Staring at your face, I'd rather watch an eclipse.
And look directly into it?
You got it.
Coach, we just had a discussion with a legendary sports figure in Chicago, Peggy Kaczynski, and we were talking about kindness. Do you ever experience kindness in your life?
Yeah, I do. I got my other job that I've been doing for years. I guess I'm kind of them people.
Well, what's your other job?
I own salons, beauty salons.
Wait a second. You own a beauty salon?
Yeah, what do you think I am, Cochran? I work for a living.
I don't see you.
I got four of them.
You do? What are they called?
Curl Up and Die.
Yeah, Curl Up and Die. C-U-R-L.
We got Madam Jones Hot Comb Oil. We run out of that all the time. We got Hall's Hair Renewer Salve. Vanita Nylon Hair Nets. We got it all. Right now, there's a special on the Ethan Barrymore Buffon.
Well, that sounds like that's really not even close to hip. Listen, Coach, we're going to be really short on time here. Do you have any advice for the kids that are in camp, sports camps this summer?
Well, I do, and it's the same thing I tell all my guys, but I really mean it for you, Cochran. Mm-hmm. Remember, there ain't no I in team, but there's a you in suck.
I think that's the kind of advice that we can run with. Hey, Coach, thanks. Don't forget to use that salve on you.
Yeah. Goodbye. Love your show.
He doesn't mean that.
That went right over his head.
And he, talk about mean-spirited. Wow.
But, you know, he's consistent. He's consistent.
Yep.
You know, he doesn't hide on the internet. He just comes right out and blasts me.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should.
Each morning at this time, across America's greatest city and around America, maybe around the world. People say, is it time for more on entertainment? And I say, yes, it is.
Children everywhere saying to their parents, Mom, Dad, put on morons.
Right. Right.
Me
right.
Like morons.
It's funny you say the kid stuff because I know there's a lot of kids who sometimes have, a grade issue. The report card thing doesn't happen anymore. You see your grades online. But people go online, they go, Timmy, what happened? And they go, listen, you listen to Dean and Steve, so what's your excuse? So we're helping people in a lot of ways.
I heard that it's going to become part of regular curriculum for most school systems.
That's how low the expectations have gotten? Dean, we're playing off and on this morning. We're playing a hot game show. Hot game show. It's nothing at all like the one Rose doing. It's Lollapalooza band or a band I was in.
That's funny because Lollapalooza is actually opening this Thursday.
And this is now in its this bit is now in its sixth year since I came back.
Yeah, this is
did it back in the 2000s too.
I remember.
Yep. Yeah,
you and Kathy and Judy used to play this.
We did a lot.
Yeah.
On Friday, August 2nd, Childish Gambino will be there, Janelle Monáe, Death Cab for Cutie, and Zamboni and the Trombones. Or is that a band I was in?
I believe Zamboni and the Trombones was a band you were in.
We're very good at this game. You have not missed yet. We'll play that again later. And also, we are auditioning people to tell a joke on stage for our show coming up at Zany's in St. Charles.
Right.
When is that?
That is August 23rd. Dean, thanks for asking. Friday, August 23rd, with Steve and myself and Mike Toomey.
Oh, I like Mike Toomey.
I do, too.
You, too. I'm not so sure about it.
I
do like Mike Toomey.
We got a lot of folks who auditioned earlier, but you'll come up on stage, you'll tell one joke, and you'll get a sense of how scary stand-up is.
Yeah.
So that's coming up. I assume you guys on TV did the story about the delivery drivers eating their food.
They may have. I don't really watch the show if I'm not on.
I don't blame you. But this is a story from, I don't know, U.S. Food, I think was the name of the company that did the survey.
Yeah, that's it. Right.
And it said that 28% of all delivery drivers admit to stealing food from the delivery.
I did. Yeah, we did see that, yes.
Yeah.
I did see that.
And we've got a bunch of texters about this. 847, tell people to tip the food delivery drivers in cash because some companies keep some or all of the tip, like DoorDash. So in other words, if we tip you more, you won't eat our food?
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. The food's already... They've already had it. Yeah.
Right.
Well, like they deliver the food just like they lick it or take a bite out of it and then give it to you. If they just ate the food, you know, if you're hungry,
picking the sausage off the pizza, picking the pepperoni.
Yeah. Or what did I see? Like somebody ordered a shake. And now how lazy are you that you have to DoorDash a shake or something like that? But these new doorbells that have cameras.
Yeah.
They showed video of the guy standing at he rings the doorbell. He's standing there. He takes a sip out of the shake, out of the straw. And then the guy answers the door and he hands it to him after he just got done
putting his
cootie-filled mouth all over the straw.
See, I don't want my straw inserted in my drink unless I'm doing it.
Yeah.
But there's a smoothie place near me called Robex. And I love their smoothies. Try the watermelon. Delightful. Refreshing. Yep. But they tear the straw bottom half off, put it in a drink, and they leave the top half on. The sip part. Yeah. I don't want you touching my straw.
I'm in favor of just leaving the paper cover on. Now, how do you feel about plastic versus paper straws?
Well, the right thing to say is paper. Yeah, I like the plastic. Plastic are good for me.
I'm noticing more and more. But the paper ones are thicker. Paper. Yeah. No, they don't break down in your mouth. So.
219, McDonald's deliveries are sealed on Uber Eats, so they know if you were getting at it. Mm. 773, they call it Uber Eats because Uber's got to eat. 219, here's another thing I got to worry about. I don't order food like that, but someone's going to get the plague, and then I'm going to get the plague because of shenanigans like this. I hate the plague.
Nobody likes plague.
815, lots of fast food places deliver now. I'm thinking of Wendy's and Taco Bell delivering my food, taking a sample of a fry or a nacho from me. Thanks a lot, guys. 815 was at a nice restaurant. This is an amazing story. Was at a nice restaurant, saw a waiter with a tray of drinks take a drink of a Coke on a tray before delivering it to another table. I got to make sure this is diet.
Yeah, we didn't bring in waiters and waitresses, too.
Well, if he saw that, wouldn't you go to the management and leave the restaurant?
Well, yeah
I wouldn't finish.
This can't be new just with all the food delivery services. I mean, there's been food delivery forever.
Seems like you're endorsing it.
This can't be anything new, and I don't even want to mention when I worked in a grocery store.
That's what I'm thinking.
In high school, when we would sometimes open a jar of pickles and take one and then put the cap back on.
Pickles? Oh.
224. No, it's a different one. 779. Grubhub also has stickers sealing the food bags. I don't think stickers are good enough based on this story. I think we're going to need welding.
Yeah, people keep saying that. Don't you think the driver has another sticker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
630, I had a friend who was a pizza delivery driver. He used to slide out an entire row of pizzas from a square pizza and hope people didn't notice the pizza was slightly smaller. You know, unless you're delivering to a house full of drunks, I don't think you're getting away with that.
That's very clever, though.
It is, though. That's, yeah.
I told you Mark Carmen confirmed your story.
Oh, he did?
That he says he took the centerpiece of the pizza out.
Yeah, which is ridiculous because that's where your eyes go. One you would notice.
Yeah, where's the middle of the pizza?
Carmen.
See, I would take the whole middle row out.
Good call. I wouldn't deliver the pizza. And I would just go on the run. I would just take the pizza, go on the run from the law.
Yeah, that's on the lamb. That's probably true. If you're going to go to that much trouble, just...
the helicopter following Steve Cochran and his pizza drone. As we check in. Yeah,
a Domino's drone following Steve on the highway in a white Bronco.
Yes, right. Yes.
White lightning.
It'd be a slow speed chase where I had to stop to go to the potty. 920, trying to lose 10 pounds for my daughter's wedding. Thanks for the motivation. No more takeout for me. And 815, three delivery services just went broke, Steve. If I'm Grubhub or Uber Eats or any of those, I'd be putting a statement out right about now. Not our guys. So, But Dean, I just wanted to share that with you because you know how you like when we share.
I am a food person,
so
which brings me to Lollapalooza band or band Steve played in Whipped Cream.
Whipped Cream is an actual band. Yeah, it's a Lollapalooza.
It is a Lollapalooza band on Saturday.
Yeah. How about, is that a sock in your pocket? Is that a Lollapalooza band or a band I was in?
I told you never talk to me like that on the air again, please.
By the way, the it goes by two names. The band is also called The Sock Pocket. So is that a sock in your pocket?
Oh, are you asking me?
Yeah, is that a band or a Xander or is that a Lollapalooza?
Oh, I just thought that Steve asked me that almost every day. So I'm going to say Lollapalooza band.
That's a band I was in, The Sock Pocket.
Oh, Sock Puppets.
We opened for Minnie Van Halen.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Which are tiny.
Minnie Van Halen?
Yeah, Minnie Van Halen. It's an actual band I saw on a marquee in Atlantic City. Was it Atlantic City? No, it was Ocean City in Maryland, and near Annapolis. And it was a bar, and the marquee said, "See Minnie Van Halen tonight." So, of course, I had to figure out what that was. And it was a bunch of moms who drive minivans who played Van Halen music. It's a great name for a band.
That is a good name.
So, all right, so when we come back, Dean, the job you have to do is to tell us about Katy Perry.
I have a lot of audio for you today. This is like the audio daily double today on Jeopardy. Of a plagiarism case. Hear two different songs.
Okay.
One has been ruled to have plagiarized the other.
Okay.
We have a Bozo reference that was made on a national television show.
It's odd that you'd bring up clowns.
On Sunday night. And many more interesting stories. We'll see what time allows.
Stand by. Coming back with that.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Sponsored by Ravinia. Back to Moron Entertainment. All right, Dean, let's jump in. It's Katy Perry.
So she had a big hit song back in, 2013, I believe, that was called Dark Horse.
Okay.
There was a Christian rapper whose name is Flame, mm-hmm. who says that Katy Perry ripped him off. He had a song from 4 years prior called Joyful Noise.
Can we hear him?
First, listen to the Christian rapper named Flame, Joyful Noise.
Let's talk about it. Your boy's been a Christian quite a few years. Victory in faith, but I failed in my fears.
So you get the general feeling, the general gist of the song. Next is Katy Perry's huge hit song, Dark Horse.
Not even close.
What do you think, Your Honor?
Not even close.
Really?
No.
The beat's the same. That's about it.
So what?
Yeah, but a lot of songs have
you can't copyright
beat. Especially
a beat.
Rap. Rap is just
that's ridiculous.
Vague.
Rap samples everything.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying it because she's pretty. She's not guilty.
A jury in Los Angeles gave a unanimous verdict in favor of the Christian rapper.
That's ridiculous.
For copyright infringement.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Perry says she never even heard the original song. The plaintiffs argue that their song had come out 4 years prior, had millions of plays on YouTube and Spotify, and their album was nominated for a Grammy. So the penalty phase of this case will begin today, and it is likely to cost Katy Perry and her co-defendants quite a bit of money.
So stupid.
They made a boatload.
I mean, that's as close as Happy Birthday and the Star Spangled Banner.
And wasn't Dean Richards' song stolen from Katy Perry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we're waiting to be sued. We want to be sued.
I wanted
we
would
that
like to be
happen.
Sued. We did it just for to get attention.
That's right.
What's okay? This country hip hop mashup. There's a couple things going on here. Miley Cyrus's dad.
Yeah, Billy Ray Cyrus, Achy Breaky Heart.
Billy Ray has had a hit this summer with a rapper.
Yeah, a Little Nas X
mm-hmm.
is his name.
Was that a band you were in?
Is this the song we're going to hear?
Yeah, it's called Old Town Road.
Here we go.
You can whip your horse. I've been in the valley. You ain't been up off that hill.
Hey, wait a minute. This sounds like Katy Perry to me.
Sounds like Flame and Katy Perry.
The song is called Old Town Road. It's been number one on the Billboard charts for the past 17 weeks. That breaks the record by any song ever in the history of recorded sound of taking the number one spot for that many weeks in a row. Last held by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men for their song One Sweet Day. And also Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee's Despacito.
So
that song stinks. It sounded like all I heard was horse. Was that Billy Ray singing or Lil Nas?
That was Lil Nas.
Oh. Yeah. Billy Ray comes in later. He just says hee haw a couple of times.
It's pretty much true. He's just happy to be on the Billboard chart right now.
Yeah, by the way, I'm readily willing to admit that when I was growing up in the 70s, there was a lot of great music, but we had a lot of terrible music. We had some real crap in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
I could give you a list. I just look forward to the day when kids who love this crap in 20 years ago, we had some real crap in the 2010s. Oh, yeah.
And you kids turn your lights off. What do you think? I'm made of money?
Close the door. What do you live in a barn?
That's crap music today.
I'm telling you, there is some
jibbity and snibbity kids.
Crap's not the word I'm looking for. There is some real. All right, what's the Bozo story?
So I'm watching this show, The Good Fight, which I did not watch. I guess it was on the CBS. Streaming service.
Yep. Good, now it's on the network.
Christine Baranski and Jane Lynch, among others, on the show. So I'm watching a scene that Chicago's own Jane Lynch is doing. She's an investigator trying to break some defendants. And she tells a story, and the story goes in this Bozo direction. So you can imagine how my ears perked up.
Whoop.
A network television show referencing WGN's Bozo show.
You know, when I was about eight, I was on Bozo Circus. And you're too young to remember this, but it was a really big deal. I was sitting in the audience with my mom, and I was chosen for the grand prize game, which is another very big deal. And I remember as I got that ball into bucket number six, and the confetti was all over the place, the crowd was roaring. And last year, my mother showed me some pictures from that day. I wasn't on the Bozo show. My older sister was. See, the mind has an odd way of turning wishful thinking into actual memories.
How about that?
That's pretty wild. Pretty
that
descriptive.
So,
very
so
specific.
Quintessentially Chicago.
Right.
Referring to grand prize game and bucket number six and all the excitement. So this morning, we text Jane Lynch. And we tell her that we played the clip. And where did it come from? Was there a Chicago writer? Where'd the whole thing come from? She said that she was the one that put that in the script. She suggested it all. It was her idea.
Well, sure. She grew up here. She knew the reference.
Yeah, to do it. So sends her love. And the show is my first time watching the show. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, she's good. Chance coming to town or staying in town?
Chance is, coming to town after he leaves town on a nationwide tour. Steve, as you well know, being president of his regional fan club, just dropped a new album called The Big Day.
Yeah, it's we're the Chances.
And we take a chance.
Yes.
35-city tour that's going to start in September. The Chicago date will be September 28th at the United Center. Tickets are going to go on sale this Friday morning at 10 o'clock, not through any of the conventional ways, but through chanceraps.com/tour.
His brother, Bob the Brother, will be opening for him. Hamilton's closing early, the exhibition I'm talking
about.
The
exhibition, they expected to keep this thing going for a while.
Is it a crowd problem or what is it?
It is definitely a crowd problem. I said from the beginning, that's a terrible spot to have put that in, I mean, geographically.
That being?
In Northerly Island. It's tucked back where Meg's Field used to be. It's very difficult to reach. You have to
park and you got to walk.
Somewhere in the museum campus and then either walk quite a distance, which can be challenging if you have kids, or take a shuttle bus. It's very difficult to get to, and I think that was part of this problem. But they announced that they're going to close the exhibition on August the 25th. It cost $13 million to put this thing up.
So are they going to take it somewhere else?
So, no.
That's it, huh?
The producers and the creators of it have decided to sell it sell the exhibition because it's a nice exhibition.
Right.
Once you get in there, it's very interesting if you're into Hamilton and the Founding Fathers and so forth. But the producers of it have decided they're washing their hands of the whole thing. They're going to sell it, and if it goes on the road, great. And if it doesn't, it's not their problem anymore.
Well, I agree with you. It's all location-based. And Joe Jonas is married to Sophie Turner.
Yeah.
And they got matching tattoos of what?
Sophie Turner's dog named, what was the dog's name? I think the dog was Wanda. Anyway, the dog Walker, Waldo was the name of the dog, was walking with the dog Walker, got spooked by something, ran into traffic, got hit by a car, and died. So
the dog, not the dog walker.
No, the dog walker. So Joe Jonas and his wife got little tattoos of Waldo the dog on their forearms.
That's all we have for today.
What I'm going to do when you die, Steve, that's what I'm going to do.
So we have a mutual moron tattoo pack?
Not on my forearm.
You know, I'm going to get a tattoo of you on my forehead because that's where I have the most space. Enjoy your day.
See you guys.
Bye-bye. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
This sounds like, for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, I think they should sue. I mean, obviously, we only heard a small bit of that. And Katy Perry doesn't need a defender, but that's a ridiculous lawsuit.
Yeah. Just because of that.
And partly, I mean, I think you and I might be a little more sensitive to it because people steal jokes all the time.
All the time. Yeah. It happens all the time.
There's this guy that used to work here named Rokun. joining us now in studio is, this is a great Chicago business, frankly, and I was on this baby early. Lifeway Kefir. Can you lean into that microphone for me and say hello?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Tell everybody your name.
Julie Smolansky.
And Julie, your company is what?
Lifeway Foods, Lifeway Kefir. Many of our listeners know us here in Chicago for over 30 years.
And I was telling you off the air that in the mid-90s, I was one of the early folks on this, relatively early anyway. And
you're
I love
influencer.
It. Yeah, yeah. Before there was an internet. Right. So what are you doing now? You got a new thing?
We got a couple new things. We have a lot of great new things. We have a new plant-based line called Plantiful, because all of our customers have said we want a dairy-free option to your kefir. And so we had to go and innovate, and it took us about 4 years to get this product perfect. And
what's
I think
the
it's
process?
Really good.
You have people in a lab, and you stand around, you come up with something, and you go, try this.
Basically, yeah.
So does the family do that?
Yeah, we do that. I mean, we play around in our kitchen. We do a lot of experiments. Our refrigerators are like laboratories, basically. There's a lot of do not touch experiments in the process.
Are you a taster?
I am. I'm a taster. A lot of people are tasters.
Are your taste buds developed in a way that you can be fair about this? Like, you know what you like, you know what you don't like?
You've had a lot of
Lifeway in your life.
Yes. I was the first guinea pig when I was 11, 10 even. My parents started playing around with the recipe. And this is my grandmother's recipe. And it's been passed down many generations.
And where's your grandmother from?
Originally from the Soviet Union.
Right.
From the Caucasus Mountains in the Ukraine area.
Right.
And we immigrated in 76 and came to Chicago.
So is she a legend there for her concoctions of...
I don't know. All the grandmas are legends there.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
They're babushkas. So when we immigrated and we came to Chicago, my parents said one thing that's missing in America was kefir. And so they decided to create Lifeway and create the recipe. And
well, we've had tremendous success.
We are the leaders of kefir in the country and around the world now. We export to Mexico, Canada, the UK,
wow.
Dubai, Asia. And
where else in the world is it super popular?
Throughout Europe, it's very popular.
Okay.
It's a staple. And the great thing is that, you know, our ancestors intuitively knew in their gut that this was a good product, that this made them feel better. They said it was a gift from the gods, they considered. And they thought that, it had the opportunity to heal your body. And now all the research and science is proving that. And
is it the probiotic piece that's a big deal?
The probiotics really support the microbiome, and they put all the good bacteria back into the gut. And now we're even learning that the gut can help improve, you know, a healthy gut is important for mental health, that kefir can actually help reduce stress, depression, anxiety. All of these things come from the gut. And that idea of, like, butterflies in your stomach, there's truth to that. And
well, I know that you guys sponsor Lollapalooza.
We do. I'm so excited. I think we have some tickets to give away today. But yeah, we're going to be at the Kids-a-Palooza stage. We are presenting the kids stage, and we've really been a part of the Kids-a-Palooza for, I think, since they started doing it.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. And I mean, I really believe that music, it makes you feel less alone. It brings people together. It creates community. And it's one of those things that you can put into your self-care toolbox the way that kefir is and Lifeway is. We can also, you know, look to these other, you know, things that we build in community.
Now, it's interesting you're sponsoring Lollapalooza again this year, because each year at this time we do a game here on the station. It's a Lollapalooza band, or a band I was in, because I've been in many, many, many bands. And I'm going to give you one, and let's see if you can play the game, okay?
Okay.
The band is Depressed Gut. Was that a Lollapalooza band or a band I was in? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Probably a band I was in, don't you think?
I believe it.
Yeah, it was a band I was in. That's exactly
true.
Right.
True.
All right, I'm going to try.
We're doing, like, some yoga there, so come and do yoga with us. And we've got a ton of activities for the kids. And kids under the age of 10 get in free with adults. So I always bring my kids, and then I have my sitter waiting to take the kids. And then
you stay for the rest of them?
Exactly.
Okay,
that's the pro tip.
How old are your kids?
11 and 9. Yeah, so they've been, like, they grew up at the kids stage.
Right? Yeah.
And we'll have all the plantiful, all the new things, products for kids. We've got this little plant-based line for kids now in a pouch.
A squeezy.
And it's so fun. And, you know, for the people who need to go dairy-free, we have an option.
All right, so it's called Plantiful. In my hand, I hold the tropical fruit, low calorie count, frankly, 120 calories. And no dairy, no juice, and all the probiotic benefits. I've been shaking this bad boy for a while now.
It's red.
John, you tried the coconut?
I have coconut, vanilla, and mixed berry. I have tried the coconut, vanilla, and I love coconut water. This is really good.
I'm so glad.
Have you tried the mixed berry yet?
No, I'm going to do that now. I wanted to save that for on the air.
Okay, so here we go.
It's a hard product to formulate because it's not, you know, dairy. And kefir for 2,000 years was made by fermenting milk. So now we're fermenting a plant-based line. So it's different, but, you know.
I like the tropical fruit.
Yeah. It's
you know why? Because it tastes like tropical fruit.
Yeah.
It does. And it's great after a workout or just a snack or breakfast with granola and smoothies. I've been making a lot of great smoothies with it. And actually, you can get it in stores at, we have three stores in Chicago, the Kefir Shop stores. There's one at the Mart at Block 37 and one in Wicker Park. And we're even putting some CBD oil in it, in the smoothies in the stores.
And by the way, for people, again, because there's such incredible amounts of misinformation out there, CBD oil is an extract. CBD oil is not weed. CBD oil does not make you high.
Right. It's just the
CBD oil has become, like,
it's not the THC. It's
exactly.
Right.
You have to combine them all together.
So that's in our stores. And so you can get that in Chicago in our kefir shop stores and have that little.
This is very good.
This is really good. I have the coconut vanilla. And this is 110 calories.
Okay. Well, here's another one then. I'd like to see you get up to 220. And for those who don't mind dairy, and
drink our kefir.
Right.
Actually, a really great line that we just launched also is a whole milk line with real fruit, and it tastes so good. It's like as close as owning your own cow and milking it and then making your own fruit preserves and blending all that together.
That's another band
really
I was
good.
In, John, my own cow.
So
we have a pair of Lollapalooza tickets.
Yes, we do.
And how would you like to give them away?
I don't know. What's the game? Are we doing guests?
We could do a band I was in, or a Lollapalooza band. Or we could also say, could you tell us the name of any of your original line of kefir products?
Oh.
I'm asking you, could you?
I could.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because you were the
so
taster.
Many. Holy cow.
Yeah, no, let's do that. A band I was in, or a Lollapalooza band. First correct caller, 312-981-7020. We'll play the game for Lollapalooza tickets in just a second. And the kid stage is where you guys will be centered, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep. So come find me. Do yoga with us.
Do we have to do yoga?
I mean,
it's good for you.
It's good for you.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good.
What if we can't bend?
You can have others bend for you.
Okay. Dave, will you come with me?
No. Not for that. I mean, I'll go and do my own yoga, John, but I'm I got to help you bend.
How about we throw in a bonus, too?
Okay.
Your Kiefer cookbook.
Let's do that. Yeah, I wrote a cookbook. It's called The Kiefer Cookbook. And it's a great little recipe collection of...
stuff you can make with kiefer.
All the things, yeah.
What's your favorite one?
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's very hard to say. I really like the Brussels sprout salad, actually. When we were on the book tour, we made that almost every place, and everyone loved that. But there's a lot of... They're great smoothies.
Where does the kiefer come in for the Brussels sprout salad?
The dressing.
Oh,
the
sure. Dressing.
It's
sure.
So good.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
Good. Yeah.
That's great.
And what's your favorite smoothie?
I love making our kefir with like kale, bananas,
yes.
Some CBD oil, some extra fruit. That's like, really good.
You say, like the, word kale, smoothie. You say yeah. The word kale, it's like an obscene phone call for yeah. Dave. That's how much he likes kale.
I'm the only one, the lone voice in the wilderness
right.
Here.
Right.
It's good for you. And it's a, you know,
it's great.
So
yeah.
Good for you.
All right,
those
so you get
antioxidants.
You get a copy of Julie's cookbook, The Kiefer Cookbook, which, by the way, you can still buy. So would it kill you to go out and buy a couple of copies and give them to your friends? Come on,
that's
please.
That's right.
We'll come back and do that in just a second. Okay? Okay. Is it a band I was in or a Lollapalooza band? John, Mike, Joe, and Michael are all standing by.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, Julie, we're ready to play.
Do it.
For your cookbook and also for tickets to the incredibly sold out, so sold out, it's extra sold out, Lollapalooza this weekend. And Julie Smolensky.
That's right.
That's close.
You got it.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
It looks hard, but it's easy.
Yeah, that's right. Settle down. So let's see. Let's go with John here in Cicero. John, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, John, you know the concept. This is a big, big prize. This is Lollapalooza tickets and the cookbook as well. Is it a band I was in or a Lollapalooza band? Are you ready to play?
I am.
The band is... You can cut the tension with a knife here, can't you? No? Not so much? I thought you could. The band is Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators.
That is a Lollapalooza band.
That's absolutely a Lollapalooza band, and you're going.
Ooh, congratulations.
Awesome.
That's a Lollapalooza band featuring Slash, the guitarist from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
wow.
It is.
Okay, fun. Yeah, well, I know, because I just said it.
Well, you didn't say Slash and featuring Miles Kennedy in the
good point.
You know, you're down to one ticket, pal, and if this continues, you're not going to have any. Let's see how smart you are. Let me give you one more. God, there's so many bands at Lollapalooza. It really is crazy, the number we're talking about here. By the way, where are you headed today? Where are you going right now?
I'm actually in Cicero for work.
Okay. What do you do?
I do mosquito abatement.
Oh, well, I'm sure you're busy. All right, here's another band. And this is for...
Bugs. We love bugs.
Right?
So he's an
I
attorney?
Yes, that's exactly right. This is a different prize package because you've already won. The Psychotic Baristas. Is it a Lollapalooza band or a band I was in?
Band you were in.
I was very good at this game. Congratulations.
Good.
You've won nothing extra because you don't deserve it. Hey, man, thank you for listening. Hold on. The rest of you hold on because we're going to keep playing the game. Let's see. That's Mark and Mike and Joe and Michael. But let's remind people again, where do we get our kefir?
Well, you can get it at any grocery store. Jewel, Dominic.
Including
no
the Plantiful.
Totally forgot. That's all right.
That's all right.
We should update you on some of this information.
It's all right.
You can Mariano's. Get it at the A&P, though, right?
You're very, very busy.
Oh, my gosh.
Does that include Plantiful? Plantiful's in there
so
as well?
It will
or do you
start.
Have to go just to Dominic's for Plantiful?
Oh, my God.
No, Plantiful, go to the stores.
Go to the stores. Go to the kefir shop right now for Plantiful, but we'll start seeing it in distribution throughout the country.
And can you get it this weekend at Lollapalooza?
You can get it at Lollapalooza, okay. Yep. Right. Come visit us at the Chowtown at Kidsapalooza. We'll have a lot of samples of all the new things. And then ask for it in the stores. Ask for Plantiful in the stores if you want to see a new plant-based version of our kefir line, a dairy-free, vegan-friendly version. Ask for it.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Congrats on all the success.
Me. Thank you.
Let me do a couple more here before we go to the news. It's Mark in the city. Hi, Mark.
Hey, How's it going, Steve?
I'm doing fine, man. Thank you for listening. You ready to play Lollapalooza band or a band I was in? The band is Popcorn Butter. Popcorn Butter, is that a band I was in or a Lollapalooza band?
I think that was your band, wasn't it?
It was my band. Congratulations. Wow. Hold the line. We'll tell you what you want off the air. Mike is in Mount Prospect. Mike, are you ready to play?
Yes, sir.
The band, Mike, is Win and Woo. Win and Woo. Win and Woo.
That was the band you were in.
It's incorrect, my friend. That's a Lollapalooza band.
Wow.
Oh, man. You were so close, Mike. So, so very close. Joe's on the south side. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
The band is Extra Gluten. Extra Gluten. Is that a band I was in or a Lollapalooza band?
I'm going to guess that that's the band that you starred in.
Right, it's a band I was in. Right. Yeah, because I love the gluten.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Extra Gluten.
Hold on.
A little dinner roll right now myself.
Yeah, we got something for you. Hold on, and let's do, let's do one more. Michael. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very good, and you?
I'm doing fine. The band's Boombox Cartel. Boombox Cartel, is that a band I was in or Lollapalooza band?
Lollapalooza.
Very good.
Wow.
How did you know that?
At top of my head, John, because I think you were in Harry and the Hemorrhoids, weren't you?
John was. I was not in that band.
I did, yeah. I was.
Yeah, John was in that band. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember those pillows you used to give away?
Oh, my God.
Crazy.
Donuts. I won't eat donuts today.
All right, Michael.
Yes.
Michael, hold on. You're a winner, too. We'll tell you what those prizes are off the air for everybody in just a second. And we need a break before the news. Quick break. We're back with the news in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
La, 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 la. La, la, la.
9:14, we have a stand-up comedy show. Comedy, it's comedy, coming at you. Going to be at Zany's in St. Charles. And you're welcome to join us, obviously. What day is it?
That is Friday, August 23rd. You, me, and Mike Toomey from WGN Television and the Morning.
And for those of you who listen and go, well, I'd like to come out, but you chumps, I've already heard your act. No, you haven't seen what we do on stage. My famous juggling of flaming clubs is something to be seen.
Are you going to close with that this time?
No, I'm going to open with it and see if
good.
I live.
Good. That's good. Good call.
But it's a cool little room, and you'll definitely have a good time. There's no question.
We're only out there once a year.
Yeah, one time.
One time.
So come on out and be a part of the action. Now, in the meantime, we're auditioning people to come on stage and tell one joke. We got enough of a hit earlier on this, which surprised me, frankly. We may have to do more than one person.
I was going
to
say, these jokes are quick, so...
So if you have a joke that you think is stage-worthy, if you've always wanted to do stand-up comedy, but only one joke and then leave, 312-981-7200 is the number. You can call now. We'll audition you in the next segment, and, we'll go from there.
But do you have to have a new joke, or can you use the same joke that you're auditioning with?
No, you can use the same joke.
Yeah, you can use the same.
Yeah. Lord knows we do. Town to town. Ed Farmer will join us in just a second. We're or at least efforting Ed right now to talk about the Chicago White Sox, who, since the All-Star break, Dave,
It has been a little rocky for them. 4-13 since the break, but they're getting a little bit healthier now. You would hope that will help to have Eloy Jimenez back and Tim Anderson back, and so maybe they'll turn it around beginning tonight.
What's the schedule this week?
They play three against the Mets at home. Then they go to Philadelphia for the weekend. And the Phillies are sort of in it in the NL East. So could be interesting.
Okay. 312-981-7200, the number to audition for stand-up comedy. St. Charles Zany's. Zany's.com, or what's the number there?
Actually, just Zany's.com, and then you can call their box office directly. But I don't have that number. I've been directing everybody to Zany's.com.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, you know, I'm not accusing you of dropping the ball here, but you kind of dropped the ball here, didn't you?
I'm drinking my mixed berry Lifeway Plentiful.
There was a disturbing, now you're saying, really, Steve? You were disturbed by Donald Trump? There was a disturbing Trump thing yesterday that kind of, it got swept under the rug a little bit. But again, to me, it's reminiscent of the problem we have, and that problem is Donald Trump. yesterday after John Stewart shepherded a bill that would make sure that the first responders and the guys that worked the pile and the men and women who were there for us after 9/11, who have suffered so greatly because of the cancer, in large part, cancer and other conditions and diseases that they got, they absolutely deserve our support to the day they die. And the problem is many of them are dying. So this will pay for the next 70 years of health concerns for these people and their heirs that may have suffered as well. Some of this stuff could be, it could change your genetics is one of the concerns. So you could pass something on, that type of thing. Donald Trump yesterday in the signing ceremony, I wasn't surprised he didn't invite John Stewart. He and John Stewart are not friends, even though it would have been a classy thing to do. But in front of those who were first responders, he talked about how he was down there a little bit. He's not going to call himself a first responder, but he was down there a little bit, and he helped clean up a little bit, and you know, and these are great guys, and he was there. There's no record of that. Zero. The only record of Donald Trump being there was Donald Trump coming down and doing an interview on the phone with, I think it was a British station at one point, and then in a suit and tie. There's no record, no pictures, no existing anything that shows Donald Trump work the pile. Not for a second, not for a New York minute, if you will. So the idea that you would steal valor in front of those who actually have it in front of them because you're so insecure and you're such a child that you have to do that is just, to me, it's absolutely symbolic of who this guy is, and sad. So you can extrapolate that out to any level you want. You can ignore it if you want. But it's just outrageous that Donald Trump, the president of the United States, forget about the president of the United States, it's outrageous that anybody that didn't do that didn't work the pile, that didn't suffer, that didn't even sweat because they were working on that site, that they would claim they were there and claim they did any piece of it. Because it's always about him. The insecurity is just frightening, and insecurity drives all of his actions, and that's what makes him dangerous. It's 9:19. What's the story on Farmer? No go today for Farmer?
He's having trouble getting a signal. We've been able to get
from outer space or from a cell phone.
Yeah, I think he's somewhere between Mars and Pluto, and so we've been able to get a hold of him, but we can't keep him on the phone. So we're trying, still trying.
All right, we'll get to it. Assuming he calls, if not, we'll move on to other things here in just a second. But the White Sox play here when?
Tonight, the New York Mets, 7:10, first pitch, 6:35, our broadcast starts on WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox! We're with you all the way. You're always in there fighting, and you
Ed Farmer found a spot where we could pick him up, and we have, as he joins us now. Been too long, Farmio. Welcome back.
Yeah, good morning. I was in the driver's license bureau. That's why I couldn't get a signal, I guess.
Well, it's okay. It's all right. It's just I haven't talked to you in forever. So just so everybody knows, you're feeling great, right? Good to great, at least?
I was feeling good when I went in the hospital, and they found nothing, so...
So now you're feeling even better.
Well, I knew that I had a virus on my pericardium, so they didn't. They gave me all these tests. I'm going, you know, you get that robot first and all that took place.
Right. Not your first day.
It doesn't cover everything. Let's say that. So. But the people couldn't have been nicer at Rush Hospital either. They're great.
They are great. There's no question about it. All right. We've talked about it on and off all season. I think the Sox surprised some people. The first half played up to maybe or above their ability at times. Still had the frustrating defensive errors. Still had the frustrating late inning bad relief appearances. But a rough start after the All-Star break. What do you attribute that to?
Rough start? We went 0-7 right away, so... I think the loss of Tim Anderson and Eloy Jimenez hurt a little bit, but we've got to do a better job on defense, and we certainly have to pitch better when we come out of the bullpen. And that's what I attribute it to. It's, you know, these are young kids, a few of them anyway, and they're learning here at the major league level. The guy that's a nice job for us is Goins, and also Engels played well in center field. If it's in the ballpark, he's going to catch it, and he's hit pretty well, you know, since he come up. He's done a nice job.
All right, so Tim Anderson's ready to come back. Eloy came back on Sunday.
Yes.
But let's talk about the – you've got this shadow that every team in the major leagues faces for the next 36 hours, and that's the trade deadline tomorrow. And the White Sox are in a little different place than they have been the last few years at the deadline. Do you expect them to be active, Ed?
I do. I expect Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn to listen to offers. That's what I expect. And that Veller on this decision over the trade of Sale to get people back if we don't make a move. You know, Steve, when you get in this situation, and I've been in it as assistant GM at Baltimore here with the White Sox, they do a lot of teams call them a lot, and then they figure you're going to be honest with them, which we are. And if you can be honest with them and they're going to be honest with you, you got a chance to make a deal. But I've seen a lot of them go by the wayside. It's different this year.
Right.
Because, you don't make a trade after the deadline. You don't get waivers on anybody. If they don't make a deal, that's what their team is.
Well, here's the thing, right? We know the pipeline. We know that this is the best farm system in baseball. We know this team is just going to continue to get better. So, I think it changes the chemistry for a trade deadline for as opposed to other teams who might be on the fence.
Well, it certainly does. They come to you because you have this talent, and you've got some talent at the big league level. It's not going to be exposed to this. They're just not going to be. And if it's the right deal, I think we're going to make a deal. But if it's a deal that doesn't favor us, and just we're not going to get rid of somebody just to get rid of them. Although, you know, there are some times where you make a deal like this for the player who's been with you and you like him, you give him a chance to be on a winner, chance to go to the World Series.
Dave, last word for Ed Farmer before he gets back to whatever he's up to this morning.
All right, Lucas Giolito off to a rough start here in the second half, really going back to his last start before the break. Reynaldo Lopez, just the opposite. He's pitching more like the guy I think people expected. But is that, Ed, maybe a sign that if you get both these guys going good at the same time, that's really what this pitching staff can be?
Yeah, those guys are certainly good. I mean, with Ronaldo, he wasn't throwing velocity-wise. He's gone to his fastball rather than his changeup. He's given up 23 or 24 home runs, which is a lot of home runs. And the last few starts here, he's showing what he was in the past, and that's a nice starter. Giolito, I scouted in high school, and he hasn't disappointed me. It's tough when you go to the All-Star game to get geared up in the second half. When I went, I was struggling when I came back. It was due to an illness, and I set the record for saves. But I had to go a bit. I had 17 at the break, and I was 6-1, and I wound up with 30 on the nose. And I didn't pitch quite as good as I did in the first half. But they make an adjustment, too, on you. You know, you gotta also take in consideration the other team because they're going to make changes as well. But I think Lucas is going to be pretty good. He's having a great year anyway.
Continue the work, my friend. You and your sidekick. What's his name again, Dave? What's that guy in the booth of it?
Call him DJ.
Oh, we'll call him DJ.
Major Dave knows everything.
Well, I try.
So Dave's good. No, we love DJ, too. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you. That's Ed Farmer. And good to hear he's feeling good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry about the fuzzy phone. It's 9:30. We'll come back with the headlines on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
You know, I'm just feeling friendly today. I'm just giving everything away. We still have Sycamore Speedway tickets to give away. app gift card or two. You want to play some fact or fiction?
Let's do it.
312-981-7200 is the number. Let's line up three people. Not one, not two, but three. How many?
Three.
Very good. 312-981-7200 is the number to play fact or fiction. By the way, previous winners on the program this morning, one, Lou Malnati's, not an entire restaurant, but a pizza. Lou Malnati's, home of the Chicago best deep dish pizza. I'm more of a Lou Malnati's thin. I like the Lou Malnati's thin pepperoni and sausage.
I had that for the first time, their thin pizza, and it was really good.
Right.
Yeah. Good crust, everything. Oh, yeah.
And apparently that's what delivery drivers prefer as well.
That's the one they take the bite out of?
Yep.
It's much easier, yeah.
Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. What's the pizza preference on this show?
Thin.
Thin?
Both.
I do like both, but I tend to go thin.
Mary?
I like both.
Steve?
I like both. Boy, thin crust or the Lou Malnati's classic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is good.
That's the one to get.
Yeah.
Hungry now.
I get a
Steve,
crust.
Steve, there was a certain mournful tone to your voice, like I miss it.
Yeah. Why doesn't John bring that?
I do miss it because I don't eat out as much anymore, and it's just a treat when I do.
Well, you're caught in the middle now because you can't eat in because the delivery drivers are eating your food.
Right.
In case you missed that story earlier this morning.
I'm still kind of nauseous over that story.
Food USA,
US Foods did a
survey, and 28% of delivery drivers said, yeah, they've occasionally stolen food out of your order.
Mm-hmm. And most of them want to.
Yeah, that's right. So I think there's something, yeah.
And the picture with that story, by the way, that appears online is this creepy guy holding a pizza and smiling.
That's good.
That's not helpful.
That's good.
All right, fact or fiction. Ready? Why don't we play a little fact or fiction, and John will give away what we have left until we're out of prizes. Fact or fiction time right now. Fran joins us. Fran, good morning to you.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Can hear you just fine. Where are you?
Oh, me? I'm in my lower level. And it's not even that hot out. I just don't put the air until everybody comes home. So I'm staying cool and listening to you.
Well, thank you for that, and congratulations on your lower level. We're getting a weird little echo. Yeah. I don't know if that's the phone. Your radio's not on, is it?
No, it's my old-fashioned phone.
All right, no worries. Well, you're not echoing. We are. So here's the fact or fiction question.
Here you go. Here you go, Fran. Hunting unicorn in Michigan is illegal.
Fact or fiction?
Oh, this got to be a trick question. I have to say fiction, but...
But why would he ask? I know what you're saying.
Oh, are you trying to help me?
No, I don't know the answer. I really don't. But I understand where you're going, because it's a ridiculous assumption. So, but why would he ask unless it was...
Would you, John?
Yeah.
All right, I'll go with fiction.
That is correct. That is correct. But the interesting part is that it is legal to hunt... unicorn.
So it's not illegal.
It's not illegal.
So it's
it is legal.
Part that was tricky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct. Very good, Fran.
Well, congratulations. Yay, you is right. Got an app gift card. And I'm also going to give you tickets for two adults and two kids to Sycamore Speedway. Hold the line and we'll take care of that. Let's get over here to, I'm trying to be fair about this and pick the people that called in and have been holding on. Bradley. Bradley.
Hello.
Hello. Bradley, how are you?
Good morning.
Hi, Bradley. Where are you today?
St. Charles.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I am sitting on my deck enjoying the beautiful morning.
This is an incredible day.
Perfect day.
There may have to be some golf today. 75 and sunny.
Because it's such an unusual day?
That's true. There may have to be some golf today because it's a day.
Yeah.
All right, my friend.
Good.
Fact or fiction, John?
Here you go, Bradley. The Supreme Court has its own private basketball court, nicknamed Highest Court in the Land.
Oh, that's cool. I hope that's true because that's very cool.
That would be very cool, but I don't think a lot of those guys have time to play basketball.
So you're saying fiction?
I'll say fiction.
Yep. No, it's true.
They have it?
It is absolutely true.
Oh, my gosh. Is Ruth Bader Ginsburg the point guard?
No way.
That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. All right, man. Thanks. We'll tell you when to call in again. Charlie's in Joliet. Charlie.
Hey, good morning. How are we doing?
We're good. How about you?
Oh, just wonderful, sir. Just wonderful.
Don't you sir me. All right, John.
Here you go, Charlie. A study was taken, and it now officially takes 364 licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop.
Well, that, I mean, doesn't that go to the size of your tongue and the amount of, you know, the
It's an official study that was taken, 364 licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop.
As crazy as it sounds, I'm going to go with fact.
That is a fact.
I just can't. But I can't agree with this study. I mean, my licks may be better than your licks.
It was done by a machine.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you, I've never had any complaints. All right, hold on. From any of the Tootsie
Pops. Hey, one other thing.
Yeah.
I still wear my Make America Vote hat again.
So. Nice.
Yeah, we got to do it, man. We got to
get them out there. Make America Vote Again. The Mava hats and shirts and pants. We're going to get pants next year. We'll all return. Thank you, my friend. I think we have one more. Diane in the South Loop. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good, Diane. What are you doing today? You sound very serious.
I just happen to have a day off, and I just turned you on like 5 minutes ago.
Perfect timing, Diane. All right. You could cut the tension with a knife. Are you ready, John?
Here you go. An art collector once paid $10,000 for invisible artwork that was simply called Endless Tank of Air.
So it's literally a tank, and you look in, and there's nothing in the tank.
There's no tank. There's nothing.
Oh, none of it exists.
Yeah.
This is so stupid. It's got to be true.
Was that the original price?
I think they bid on this. Actually.
How much was it?
$10,000.
It's so stupid. All right, Diane, what do you think?
I'm going to say fact.
It is a fact.
Oh, my God. I want to find the person that gave the 10G
but
and put them
the
in jail immediately.
Actor James Franco submitted the artwork, and they bought it.
Stupid. Listen, for understanding the stupidity of this show, you're
very
a big
good.
Winner.
Thank you.
All right, hold on. Apt gift card there as well. And remember, when it comes to Apt, they're ready to make you happy like they have me for so long. People pleasing since 1936. Store in Glenview or online at abt.com. And that Sycamore Speedway situation is general admission for two adults and two kids. Family owned since 1963. Go to sycamorespeedway.com.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Beautiful day driving around, sitting around. Listen to this. Come on, James!
That's good.
Good job! You know what I've always said? Papa don't. That's what I say. Papa don't.
Okay.
Papa don't take. You don't take no mess. A lot of stories about James Brown. What a difficult guy he was to work with. Certainly had his own personal demons. But I think we can agree the man was funky.
Oh, no question.
Bill and Wendy are coming up here shortly. Steve Grzanich has left the newsroom chair. I forgot to ask him about this morning. But we apparently had a near miss with an asteroid. I'm talking about a big asteroid. That's what I, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it kind of came out of nowhere. And the people that watch the asteroids, I think they're called the asteroid watchers, literally didn't see it coming until it was quite close. Here's my question about this, because we literally have people that watch, they're asteroid watchers. And my question to you is, if they see one coming, like today,
right,
and it appears it's going to impact, what can we do about it? Zip.
Yeah, I don't. No. I don't think we can do it. And I think that asteroid was the same size or a little bigger than the one that supposedly got rid of all the dinosaurs.
So that would have been a problem.
Yeah, that would have been an issue. But there's no dinosaurs left, so who cares?
Right.
They would have been, you know.
The dinosaurs would have come back? That's how big it would have blown them back?
It would have all started all back again.
I mean, there's lots of things we can worry about. I never worry about an asteroid hitting the planet.
No, that's not on, when I wake up, that's not on my list.
Because what are you going to do?
You can't do a thing.
No. No. I mean, I'd like a little warning so that I could at least say goodbye.
Yeah, now that's an interesting thing. What would you do if you knew an asteroid was coming?
I'd be with the people I love most.
Hmm.
Not you, huh?
Nah.
I mean, would you just kind of sit there?
Well, I mean, what are you going to do?
I mean, go play golf?
An asteroid is going to hit the Earth at noon today.
Okay.
You got 2 hours and 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
Make a few calls.
Before its cell service goes down.
Right.
That's good. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, depending on where you are, if you can't get to family, love the one you're with. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah, it's not like you got to go get your pictures and, you know, hide your marriage certificate and, you know, gather all belongings.
Right.
But then if you do that, Steve, what happens if the asteroid misses?
Well, then you got some splaining to do, pal. An asteroid big enough to earn the name City Killer from astronomers whizzed by at this close distance. CNET likens the passby of asteroid 2019 to having a baseball whistle by your ear as you walk down the street.
Wow.
The asteroid's about 330 feet wide, came within 45,000 miles of Earth, one-fifth of the distance to the moon. At its closest point, you would have been able to see it with binoculars. Now, 45,000 miles sounds like a lot. In space terms, it's like from me to Dave.
Yeah.
Had the asteroid struck, it would have landed with the force of a large nuclear weapon with about 10 megatons of TNT. Two astronomy teams picked up its presence on Wednesday. This is Wednesday of last week. How'd the asteroid trackers miss it? Well, its size, for one thing. It's big enough to cause lots of damage, but not big enough to be an instant radar spot. And 3 days before, it was 1,000 times fainter, harder to see. It also has a weird eccentric orbit. It's kind of a drunken asteroid.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I've heard about these. Yeah.
So, again, it's very possible we're going to get whacked by an asteroid at some point. And I just want you to know I'm going to be probably in a Walter E. Smith recliner.
Eating a Lou Malnati's pizza?
Having a Lou Malnati's pizza, kick back, and, you know.
My pillow behind your head?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can eat whatever we want.
Yeah.
Like our last meal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so that would only destroy a city?
Well, they call it the City Killer.
The City Killer?
I mean, you know.
Bigger than area.
10 megatons of TNT, a big old nuclear weapon. That's going to screw things up.
So where would you like it to land?
Well, where's Trump? That's not good. It's not necessary. I'd like to retract that.
But you should duck when it's coming.
Don't so you'd like yeah. someone? You'd like some sort of signal from the government telling you when to duck?
Does anybody have a bomb shelter?
No.
Should we go in that? Would that help? I guess not.
Well, there are people who have them.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if it hit where you were, I'm thinking not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we're keeping an eye out for asteroids. I just looked out the window a second ago. Nothing but a beautiful day here. Bill and Wendy are here now, and we got a couple minutes before the top of the hour, which we never do. Let's see if I can still make your show late. how are you guys?
Fantastic.
Very good.
Did you hear the story of the morning?
About people eating your food when they deliver it?
Mm. Delivery drivers eating your food before they deliver it.
Mm-hmm. Was it Joe Romano who ruined it for me? Because I'm thinking there are stickers on the bag. There's no way they can dip their hands in there. Joe, was it you that said, don't you think they have extra stickers?
Yeah, more stickers.
Yeah, you ruined it for me.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you ever delivery drive?
I never did.
No.
No, you?
No.
Not mm-hmm. food.
No. Your deliveries were so
you
ahead
have a
of the curve.
Called Chubhub for a while, Steve.
Ouch!
What are you guys doing today?
Yes, Bill.
What are you doing today?
I got suckered into watching something on TV that I know was bad for me, but it was the most entertaining hour I've ever had.
The Bachelorette?
I'm not going to say. I won't say. Although something weird, I have a Bachelorette story that may come up also.
I don't understand why The Bachelorette's on TV. I know it's immensely popular, but...
There was a headline this morning, Steve. Apparently, the woman who is The Bachelorette's name is Hannah.
Crazy as the day is long.
Hannah B.
All right, I didn't know that. So there's a headline that says that Hannah explains windmill sex. And I kept thinking, what would two people have to do to create that? But what they meant was, she had sex in a windmill.
So you pictured, like, two people, like, in turbine positions?
I thought two people on pulleys.
We need more power!
In a windmill is better than on a windmill.
Right. Yeah,
well, that's a good point.
I can tell you this, if you had some sort of turbine thing going, you better videotape that, because that's something you're not going to see every day. And stretch before and after.
Oh, boy, you have to.
So,
yeah.
All right, so you're going to tell a story that you can't tell us now about something that you were forced to see that you didn't want to see.
I happened upon it at just the right time, and it locked me in for an hour.
Okay. Did we talk about this? Are you guys fond of the reruns?
Yeah, I've watched
the old 60s stuff.
Oh,
and the
70s
stuff.
Love definitely.
The game shows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
There was a really good match game on from 74 yesterday. I don't know if you caught it.
Who were the guest stars?
You know what? Four people you didn't know, Brett Summers and Richard Dawson.
Always solid.
Hey, it's your time.